Let me ask you a question. Do you consider yourself spiritual? A good person? A sincere Christian? How do you know you really are? Well, today, you can find out with absolute certainty. You don't want to miss it.
And welcome to this edition of Living on the Edge with Chip Ingram. Living on the Edge is an international discipleship ministry featuring the Bible teaching of Chip Ingram. I'm Dave Druey, and in this program, we continue our series, Resilient, Withstanding the Storms of Life. It's been a rough season, hasn't it? But it's Thanksgiving, and Thanksgiving always gives us the opportunity to think about what we're thankful for. We do have a lot to be thankful for. But the truth is, for valid reasons, many are struggling, and you're not sure you have the strength to hang on when the next wave hits. So we're studying in the book of James because what James said to encourage believers who had to leave homes, families, businesses, had lost loved ones, has just as much relevance today. What he said to those believers then is exactly what we need to hear now. Well, Chip's teaming up with his son, Ryan Ingram, who's pastor of a growing church in California. So today we're going to hear from Ryan as he brings us part one of his message, It's Practical, from James chapter 1.
We've been talking about this idea of resiliency, and what resiliency really is, it's the ability to withstand or to recover from a difficult situation. It's this ability to stand strong in the face of a storm, to be knocked down, but the ability to get back up. And so we've been asking and wrestling with this question, how do you have resiliency in the face of a difficult situation? When things at home are maybe a struggle, or things at work, or the future's uncertain, how do we have resiliency in this? And we've been studying the book of James. If you want the full context, you can actually go back and look at Acts chapter 8 and see the moment of what he's navigating. James was the half-brother of Jesus. He was the leader of the church in Jerusalem, and the church had just experienced intense persecution, and everyone was scattered from their homes and afraid. Their lives were upended in this moment, and that's why he opens up his letter to them this way. He says, "Consider it pure joy, or all joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds." And we're all experiencing different kinds of trials, even though we're all in the same trial together, isn't it true? And he says, "Consider it joy." You can actually reckon it joy in this moment. Why? Because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. It develops this ability to remain under, this strength to withstand. It develops, when we persevere, a resiliency. Perseverance, it says, must finish its work. We must allow it to finish its work. Why? So that we can be mature and complete, not lacking anything. I think that's such a great picture of what it looks like to be resilient in our day, of what does it look like with good times or bad times, in difficult situations and when things are going great, to be a person who has been developed to the point where there's this maturity, there's this wholeness, where your circumstances don't determine whether you have or lack anything. And so we've been wrestling with this idea of resilience and talking about it's tempting. Like, how do you have resiliency in the face of temptation? What do I do when temptation knocks? It's emotional. How do you navigate the destructive emotions that we're all experiencing? This is an emotionally disorienting time, isn't it? And what do I do with the emotions inside of me? It's powerful. And our response to God's word and what it does to transform us, we're going to talk about it's practical. Like, James is going to get real practical. Like, what do we do? And maybe, have you ever wondered, as we've been talking about this, like, what do resilient people do? What are their habits? What are their practices? What do they do, whether it's a good time or a bad time? The circumstance may change, but these activities, these practices do not change. And what we're going to discover, there are specific practices of resilient people, regardless of their circumstance. And so, if you got your Bible, would you open up to James chapter 1, verse 26? He begins this way. "Those who consider themselves religious. Religious is, you know, we don't naturally think of ourselves as religious. We think of ourselves as spiritual. And he says, okay, well, then say those who consider themselves spiritual, or those who consider themselves a Christian, those who consider themselves a follower of Jesus. This word religious refers to the outward acts of worship. Those who consider themselves religious and yet do not keep a tight rein on their tongues deceive themselves, and their religion is worthless. Then he goes on, religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress, and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. It's practical. In fact, what we're going to see is there's three specific practices of mature followers of Jesus, or better yet said, resilient people. What are these three practices? He's going to first say mature followers of Jesus, those that have been refined and are resilient. The first practice is they actually have the ability to bite their tongue. They have the ability, as James says, to rein in their tongue. That word rein is the word bridle. It's the picture of a bit in a horse's mouth that controls it, that you bridle, you're able to hold in check. You notice he said, those who consider themselves religious that are like, hey, we're in this, we're followers of Jesus. And yet, if you're not able to control what's coming out of your mouth, he's going to say something pretty powerful. He's going to say, we deceive ourselves. That word deceive is, one writer says, the self-deceived person is the one whose religious acts do not make a difference in the way they live. Like I am worshiping God, but then my words that come out to my neighbor, my words that come out to my kids, my words that come out about my coworkers are just cutting. He says, you can't be worshiping God and say, and then have your words tell a different story. And this is what James is doing. He's actually connecting our understanding of worship with our understanding of wisdom and saying those two go hand in hand. Proverbs talks a lot about this. Think about this. Proverbs 10:19. Sin is not ended by multiplying words, but the prudent hold their tongue. Proverbs 11:12. Whoever derides their neighbor has no sense, but the one who has understanding holds their tongue. Proverbs 17:27. The one who has knowledge uses words with restraint. This whole idea of bridling or holding back our tongue, like spirit, this practice of, okay, it's starting to come and I'm going to hold it back. Well, why does James go to the extent to say, like, man, your religion's worthless? That's kind of harsh. And I know it's pretty convicting for me. Well, he's building off of what Jesus was saying in Luke chapter 6, verse 45. Jesus has something that's so powerful and poignant when it comes to our words and revealing. He says, a good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart, and an evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. The mouth speaks what the heart is full of. So this is why this is so important. See, I think when we think about our words, we're just like, wow, I didn't mean to say that. Or we might say, I'm just trying to be honest, keep it real. It just slipped out and it's no big deal. And what Jesus would say is that what comes out of our mouths actually reveals what's going on inside of our hearts. Like what is flowing out of our mouths, and especially in these moments, in these crisis moments, like it begins to reveal the condition of our heart. It's not just a thoughtless word or just, I didn't mean it. Jesus would say, no, there's actually some hard things going on in there. In fact, here's what, you just imagine, you know, if you had a dog that ran up and jumped on you right now, or maybe your kids jumped on you right now, or maybe your roommate bumped you. And what you know and what I know is the minute we get bumped, the contents in your cup, my cup, spill out. And whatever the content is what's going to spill out. And so if you have orange juice is going to spill. If you have coffee, coffee's going to spill. If you have water. And here's what Jesus is saying when it comes to our words. Like, what spills out of your mouth when you're bumped is revealing the contents of your heart. He's like, what is that? And this is why this is so powerful, this practice in these seasons of resiliency of like, okay, I'm going to be so aware of my words right now. Because I know that it's pointing to something in me that has this potential to spill out. And it's actually pointing to some heart things. It's like an indicator. I got to be aware of my heart. Let's think about this. Maybe reining in when bumped. Maybe for some, gossip words come out or boastful words. Maybe it's slander or you're cutting someone down or criticism. It's easy when bumped, I think, in this season for me to go towards the naturally negative. Or maybe it's crude and maybe it's harsh words for you. As you've been bumped, we've all been bumped. What's been coming out? What's been spilling out? And Jesus would say, that's going to reveal something deeper in our hearts. You know, when we were talking about it's emotional and I was talking about anger, I'm trying to gather the whole family to sit down and watch the service together. And, you know, Miles was getting up, going over here, and Ryder's going over here. And I couldn't get everybody all focused. And you probably have had this same experience. I'm trying to get everyone focused. And I'm finding as we're about to watch me talk about anger that I'm getting angry in the moment and getting frustrated with my kids. And I'm just like, and my kids can feel it. And my daughter Ella just is like, are you getting angry and going to talk about anger? I'm like, no, kids, man. And she was right. See, sometimes what gets bumped is just frustration and these emotions. And it's just that indicator of something deeper going on inside of me. And so what the mature person of Jesus or the resilient, they have this ability to bite their tongue and then bring their heart before God. See, it's like I can bridle it, I can hold it in, and that takes a process, that takes time, it just takes awareness. But then he's like, okay, I'm going to bring my heart, I'm going to bite my tongue, I'm going to bring my heart before God. The first area, bite your tongue. Second, roll up your sleeves in love. Notice what he said. Religion or worship, spiritual acts that God, our Father, accepts as pure and faultless is this. To look after orphans and widows in their distress. He's going to say, resilient people don't simply look in and try to figure out how do we just make it through. What they have the ability to do is they're going to roll up their sleeves and look out and go, who can we love? Who can we love? Who are the people that God has put along our path to be the hands and feet of Jesus? This word look after means to go see a person with helpful intent. It's actually proactive. I'm going to go see a person. I'm going to go out of my way. And my heart and my intent is how can I help? In what ways can I bring aid and hope to you? The Apostle Paul would say it this way in Galatians 5:6, the only thing that counts, think about this. That's a big statement. The only thing that counts is faith. Faith, the confidence that God is who he said he is, and he'll do what he said he will do. Faith, your worship with God, expressing itself through love. That we are fundamentally, regardless of what the circumstances are, to be a people of love. Marked by love. In fact, the early church in the moments of crisis were fundamentally known for their love. When plagues hit a town, they would risk their lives to care for sick and to bring aid while everyone else fled. He says, roll up your sleeves and love. Right, this gets back to the heart of God. Micah 6:8 says, "He has shown you, O man, what is good. What does the Lord require of you? But to act justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with your God." That we are supposed to have this combination of just acts and love of mercy that looks after the most vulnerable and hurting in our society. Psalm 68 talks about that God is a father to the fatherless, that he's a defender of the widow, that he sets the lonely in families. Like, that's the heart of our God. And so that is to be the heart of us. And so, followers of Jesus, we're to roll up our sleeves. Really resilient people have this practice, whatever the season, and we're going to love. Well, who are we going to look after? We're going to look after those that often get looked over. We're going to look after those that so often get looked over. Well, who are they? First, it's the vulnerable. It's the vulnerable. It may be vulnerable economically, maybe vulnerable when it comes to health or age. Think about the foster care system, the vulnerable, the ostracized, the outcast, the overlooked. As followers of Jesus, we're to be a voice for the voiceless. We're to lean in and call out for justice. We're to be a people that says, okay, we are going to fight for those who are able to fight on their own to bring about healing and hope and life. See, this is just what it means to be a follower of Jesus, no matter what season, the vulnerable, the ostracized, and the invisible, the people we don't see, the people that we can tend to overlook. I think in this season, the invisible is often the homeless and what they're going through. Invisible might be a neighbor that you just really had no idea what they were going through, because we often don't ask maybe that deeper question and know what's really going on in their life and their struggles. It says, roll up your sleeves and love. My friend Christina says it this way: you don't have to look hard to find pain and hurt. And boy, isn't that right? You don't have to go far. We just have to start looking. We have to do that look after instead of looking over. You know, as this season hit, I have one neighbor down the street that's, she lives on her own. She's an older lady. And I just wanted to go, hey, however we can help, whatever you need. And she emailed me and say, hey, could you run and get this prescription? Or I need this picked up at the grocery store. It's just a simple, simple way. Because I think sometimes we hear this and we think it has to be big, grandiose. And I think really it's just what Andy Stanley said so many years ago: do for one what you wish you could do for everyone. See, we get overwhelmed by the needs. We get overwhelmed by the pain around us. And so, unfortunately, what happens is we end up not doing anything at all. And so you can't do everything for everyone, but you can and I can do something for someone.
You're listening to Living on the Edge with Chip Ingram and Ryan Ingram's teaching from his series, Resilient, Withstanding the Storms of Life. Chip's here with us, and he's got some thoughts about the message you just heard. But before we get to that, I hope you'll take a second to go online or tap share and encourage others to join us for this series, too. Navigating life's storms is never easy, which is why Chip asked Ryan to come and share this message that brings such practical application to the daily challenges. Culture has a powerful voice that influences our attitudes and our thinking. So Ryan's fresh perspective on James chapter 1 provides the tools we may need to make a few course corrections. For a limited time, resources for Resilient are discounted, and the MP3s are always free. Now, to order your copy or to send it to a friend, visit us at livingontheedge.org, tap special offers on the app, or give us a call at 888-333-6003. That's 888-333-6003. Well, Chip, it's been a pretty crazy year for all of us, but some are genuinely struggling to be thankful with all they've gone through. Have you got a word for us today?
Well, Thanksgiving is not a feeling, because I think it'd be very challenging for some at this very moment in light of all that's happened personally, some things in our country, some things globally, economic issues, health issues, mental health issues, the conflicts family has had with all these shutdowns, the disappointment many people have with what they thought this year would be like. And so I think just a reminder that Thanksgiving, you have to really pull back and look at the big picture and recognize that a good God who is all wise, who's all powerful, in the midst of a fallen world, wants to bring good out of things, but it's very difficult to look at some of these specifics and go, God, thank you for COVID-19. But I think we can choose to say, okay, what good came out of this? What relationships got developed? What innovation occurred? What maybe for some it was a hard time with the family, but for others it really reignited relationships because you were stuck in the same place together. What did God do in your life because you were more dependent? How did he show you perhaps that there were some idols in your life and mine because there's less money, less time, and more pressure? Let me just encourage you to rejoice always, to pray without ceasing, and to choose to give thanks in all things, for this is the will of God for you and for me in Christ Jesus. I don't mean that tritely, and I realize it's a challenge, but as you choose to give thanks for what God has done, for what you do have, you will find that your perspective changes, and the person who faces today and tomorrow will be a different person.
Very encouraging. Thanks. Well, if you're looking for a way to grow and stay connected spiritually, Living on the Edge has a ton of resources, many absolutely free. We have topics on marriage, parenting, Bible study, how to hear God's voice in prayer, in lots of formats, audio, video, print, and free downloads. Our mission is to help you come closer to Christ, wherever you are on your spiritual journey. Now, to check out what's available, download the Chip Ingram app, check out the website at livingontheedge.org, or give us a call at 888-333-6003.
As we wrap up today's program, especially since, I mean, it's Thanksgiving, and I listened to this message about resilience means it's practical. And I love the passage, you know, what is it that God really wants us to do? Micah 6:8, what does the Lord require of you but to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God? And I love the last part of the message where Ryan began to talk about just acting. I mean, just choosing to act and help other people. And I don't know about the rest of you, but this whole year of COVID-19, I'm just going to confess, I had one season where I got discouraged, and then I went from discouraged and I got depressed. I mean, I got really depressed. It was a little 3-day window, and I'm really struggling, and I'm trying to fight, and all the things I preach and tell you all, I'm trying to do, and I'm not doing it very well at all. And literally, the Holy Spirit kind of smacks me and just says, Chip, get off yourself. Would you just think about someone else? I bet their life is a lot harder. And it just came to my mind. It was a friend in Egypt who's in charge of all the Protestant churches. And I literally said, you know, let me see if I can get a Zoom call with him. And I just heard about people whose situation was like 100x worse than mine. And in the midst of it, he says, we're just trying to survive. And I'll never forget, because I was studying a passage and I was coming up with a series on the art of survival. And I just said that out loud. And he goes, well, get it to me right away. And I said, well, I haven't even taught it, let alone filmed it. And something happened. Here's what I want you to get. That was a Thursday. Between Thursday and the following Tuesday, I studied up, got a film crew, taught 3 messages, got it to him. It was translated into Arabic by that Friday. On Monday, we had a webinar with all these leaders from all around Egypt. And then they had it translated and went throughout the churches throughout all of Egypt. But here's what happened. My depression, my discouragement evaporated because in front of me was a need and my focus was on helping them. Could I encourage you? Just get your focus on someone else, no matter what you're going through, and love them today. See what God does.
Just before we close, would you stop for a minute and pray for Living on the Edge? We've never seen a greater need for God's truth to go out than right now. And by God's grace, Living on the Edge has been able to provide encouragement, teaching, and personal discipleship resources to more people than ever before. So thank you to those who support us with your prayers. God is doing amazing things. Well, until next time, and for all of us here, this is Dave Drewy saying thanks for listening to this edition of Living on the Edge.